You're listening to Packers Talk Network. PackersTalk.com.
Let's talk in Pack.
So, you know, the Green Bay Packers defeated the New York Giants on Sunday. So many big, important games between those two teams over the past 15 years or so. Playoff games and games with playoff implications. One such game was on December 26th, 2010, at Lambeau Field. And your pal Lemps was there for it. It was kind of a last-minute thing, too. Adam Summers, one of my bestest friends in the world, OBOD podcast co-host at the time, old bag of donuts, reached out to myself and Gene Bosling, another one of my bestest friends in the world, and my other old bag of donuts podcast co-host at the time, a few days before the game to tell us he knew someone who was selling their tickets. I was going to be in Appleton for Christmas, and Gene was visiting family in the Green Bay area, too, so maybe we'd want to go to the game together. Gene thought it was a great idea. I wasn't as sure. The Packers had lost 3 out of 4, their playoff hopes were on life support, and most importantly, the game was a 3:15 p.m. Lambeau time kickoff. I was still living in Minneapolis at the time and had to work Monday morning. Gene was living there too and offered to ride back with me, but still, we might not get back until midnight or later. But he persisted and eventually I gave in. Met Adam's friend at the Fox River Mall in Appleton in the afternoon on Christmas Eve to buy the two tickets, and 2 days later, Gene and I headed to Lambeau. The tailgating vibes were non-existent. My friends, the vibes were dead. We couldn't believe how down it was around Lambeau before the game. Yeah, things didn't look great as far as the Pack making the playoffs, but still. And then the game started. Green Bay kicking the scoring off with an 80-yard touchdown pass from Aaron Rodgers to Jordy Nelson. The Giants eventually tied it up at 14-all in the second quarter before the Packers hammered down on the throttle and left New York in the dust, eventually winning 45-17. The vibes had changed dramatically in the best way. Gene and I then jumped in my Dodge Intrepid and headed back to Minneapolis, even recording a podcast in the car while we drove, a pod that has sadly been lost to time. And it wasn't midnight when I walked in my apartment. No. It was a little after 1 a.m. Yeah, that next morning at work was rough. Rough, but worth it. Totally worth it. You know how the rest of the story goes. They beat the Bears the following week to make the playoffs right at the end of the regular season. Then down goes Philly, Atlanta, Chicago, and finally, Pittsburgh, and the Packer hoisting the Lombardi Trophy for the fourth time. But that once-in-a-lifetime run started against the Giants. And thanks to some friendly pushing from my guy Gino, I was there for it. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempesis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to get to all the other questions and comments sent in by you, the listeners, following Green Bay's 27-20 win over the New York Giants on Sunday at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Hang on one second here. There we go. Sorry about that. You know, I did the show Sunday night, and as I was listening back to it right after I finished recording, I was like, damn, was I maybe too harsh on the team? I mean, they did win, right? And then I start reading other stuff and listening to what others had to say on Monday and today, and I'm like, hey, I actually don't think I was. I might have had one of the kindler, gentler takes on the win, as it turns out, which is rare for me, as you probably know. But you know, it's like I said Sunday night. I think you can be critical. In fact, you should always be critical, no matter what. But you shouldn't poo-poo a win too much, because they are hard to come by in the NFL. You can say you don't feel any better about the team's long-term chances this season now than you did before the game, and that's fair. In fact, I'd agree with you. I don't feel any better about the team long-term now than I did before the game. I would agree. But again, can you imagine if they'd lost? Can you imagine where we'd be? Holy shit. They at least avoided that. They bought themselves more time to figure it out anyways. And like I said Sunday night, you know, sometimes that has to be enough. Sometimes you have to just live to play another day, and they've done that. But you should always try, you know, to avoid being the, yeah, they won, but I'm mad person if you can. Try to avoid being that guy. You have to enjoy the wins. You have to enjoy the journey too, right? God, listen to me. I am old now. Oh, what an old sellout. Oh my God. Enjoy the journey. Who am I? But it's true. You do. Before we get into the fun, and how could you not be having fun already? Seriously, 2010 me, the guy from that I talked about in the opening of the show, he would have stuffed 2025 me right into a garbage can if he heard me say, enjoy the journey. But I mean, again, you have to, right? It's all part of the story. It's all part of the saga, you know, of that particular season. I have to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you love, or at the very least tolerate. Real simple, LampsTalkingPack.com. That's the website. Now, I know some of you are probably hammering down on that fast-forward button now, and this sounds like, right? Shameless self-promotion, social media, yada, yada, yada. You're just trying to get to the meat of the show. But for those of you who are listening to this part of the show, I appreciate it. Yeah, the website, LempsTalkingPack.com. Just like the show, talking, no G. No G necessary if you're me. I don't even carry the G. It's past that. It's beyond that. I am the G. Go to the site, bookmark the site, love the site. There you'll find all the various social media channels I'm on. Give me a follow one place or another. The email address, drop me a line. I'd love to hear from you. And all the places you can find this show. iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all that shit. And remember, first, again, as always, subscribe. Whatever platform you choose, make sure you're subscribing first and foremost to Packers Talk. Then, leave a rating and or comment on whatever platform you're using too, because it all helps with that damn algorithm. So yeah, subscribe, then ratings and or comments. Haven't had any in a minute, so let's maybe do that soon. What do you say? It does help. It really does. And keep following the Packers Talk YouTube channel too. We're up over 1,000 followers now. Closing in on 2,000 actually, which is great. Holy shit. But yeah, the LTP YouTube show is going to debut very soon. So you'll want to be following on YouTube so you can see that. You don't want to be missing out on that. I promise you it's coming soon. It really is. No lie. You can also find the Venmo and PayPal information there. So if you'd like to send me a little something-something, help me get some good beer to drink while I record, that would be great. No donations since you last heard from me? Oh, it's like that, is it? Oh, okay, I see how it is. Maybe I'll just end the show for tonight right now! All right, no, I won't. I'm just kidding. I don't mean that. But remember, if you do, I just want to make sure you're still awake, still paying attention. But remember, if you donate, I'll say your name here in this space and tell everyone how cool you are. Doesn't that sound awesome? I sure think so. And again, I'm not asking for much. You got an extra $5? $10? That works for me. Even a one-time $5 donation, a $10 donation via PayPal or Venmo. When you think of all the content you're getting here on this show for a full season, again, it's about 2 hours each week during the regular season, you come out way ahead in that deal. Way ahead. And before we go any further, I want to let you all know that our show, my show, the one you're listening to right now, as well as all the shows on Packers Talk, sponsored once again by Wisconsin's own Ticket King. For over 30 years, Ticket King has been providing Packers tickets to Packer fans, as well as Bucks, Brewers, and Summerfest tickets. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com or visit their locations in Green Bay, right near Lambeau Field, and right here in downtown Milwaukee, baby. Remember to support local Wisconsin businesses. Again, the Packers, they got a game coming up on Sunday at Lambeau against the goddamn Minnesota Vikings. Don't you just hate the Vikings? Doesn't that purple make you sick? Don't you want to go to the game and cheer the pack on? If you do, you go to theticketking.com. They will take care of you. I assure you, if you want to get tickets to that, or not just that game, any upcoming Packer game. Again, Bucks, Brewers, Summerfest, those as well. Theticketking.com. That's where you need to go. I promise you, they will take care of you. Hang on a second here. What is going on with my computer? What is this? Sorry about that. There you go. They will take care of you. We love you, Ticket King. All right. Now that we done got all that out the way, let's go. Let's dive right in. Hey, wait a tick. Did someone say beer? Oh, yeah, I suppose. I could have a beer. I'll go for a beer. Sure. Twist my arm. You're twisting my arm. All right, I'm drinking one. You win. And as usual, I am drinking... Actually, you know what? This is my last can of Sam Adams. I almost said Sam Adams. Summer Ale. I love the Summer Ale, too. This is my last can of Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. Again, I bought way too much of it a few weeks ago, whenever it was. But I'm on my last can. Great this time of year. The fact that the can is orange, that just puts it over the top. Again, it's just top-notch. It is a top-notch product. And again, this beer I'm drinking tonight is paid for by listeners like you. So thanks, everyone. Cheers. Okay, now let's go. Now let's dive right in. No more stalling. No more bullshit and lamps. Let's reopen the bag, all the various bags that make up the one mail bag, I should say, and get to everything else you all had to say after the Packers beat the Giants on Sunday. And as always, some of these may be condensed slightly for the purpose of time. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot about the t-shirts, too. Oh, hey, all right, hold on. One more promotional thing. Again, I've heard from some of you who have said you want an LTP t-shirt, a Lemps Talking Pack t-shirt. So if I hear from a few more ideas, a few more, how'd that come out that way? So if I hear from a few more of you, there we go, then I'll do another t-shirt sale. Perfect with the holiday season fast approaching. Let me know either via email or on one of the socials. If you want one, and I'll make it happen, I will do another sale. What the hell is that? I hate when stuff just randomly falls off the shelf down here. Don't you hate that? Oh, just forget it. All right. So, I got stuff on my screen I'm trying to wipe. I don't know what that is. I think I might have accidentally spit on the screen. I got too excited at one point. So stuff's falling off the shelf down here. It's a mess. All right, so let's see. I have no tweets. Goddamn, why am I even on Twitter? If people aren't going to send me tweets after the game. Riddle me that. One Twitter DM. Two. So 1, 3, 4, 5, 10, 11. So that's 11 questions and comments for tonight. Had 13 on Sunday night. Read 3 on the show. Got one more since then. So there you go. Hey, that rhymes. Read 3 on the show. So there you go. I do it all here. A little less than what it's been lately. But again, that makes sense. A nail-biting win over a bad team doesn't really fill the bag in a way that a big win over a good team or like a bad loss does. So I get it. I mean, others might think less of you all, but I won't. I'm kidding. All right, so let's start with Twitter. Because I didn't have any tweets, but I did have a Twitter DM. So let me pull that up here. It is from my buddy Rob over there in the UK at ElYargo58 at NotSoLittleRob on Twitter. He DM'd me to say, Lemps, half that first half, I swear I got a suntan here in the UK from how hot Matt LaFleur's seat must have been. Honestly, it was a tough watch. Penalties and drop passes didn't help at all, and the only time we showed any sort of rhythm in the first half was when Love wasn't even on the field. We just need some kind of spark on offense at times, and to be fair, those last few possessions actually looked a lot better. All right, so good stuff, Rob. Good way to kick it off here. Hang on a second. Let me scroll down here. Look, there we go. All right. So I can edit this stuff. I can edit this stuff out, but I won't because I want you to get, again, I want this to have a live feel. You know, unedited. Yeah, I mean, the first half, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was a rough, it was a rough start to the game. Absolutely. I mean, again, the drops. Five drops in the first half is just unacceptable. What did Rob Domofsky, what did Domofsky say on Twitter? I do have this pulled up, if you'll allow me for a moment here. It's the, what was it, the most drops, tied for the most drops in a half by Green Bay since 2006, I think he said. I mean, it was unbelievable. I gotta scroll way back here. Hang on. Here we go. Yes. This is from Rob Domofsky on Twitter at Rob Domofsky, Packers beat reporter for ESPN.com. The Packers had 5 drops in the first half, giving them 8 in the last 6 quarters. The 5 drops matches the most by the Packers in a first half since ESPN began tracking drops in 2006. Previously, the Packers had only 5 drops in weeks 1 through 9 combined. So that right there gives you an idea of just how bad it was in the first half as far as you know, the drops go. If you're sitting at home going, man, 5 drops in a half, that's got to be like historically bad for the Packers. Well, kind of was. That was really the main culprit why they couldn't get anything going offensively. You know? Because again, Love was outstanding in this game. Like, he was great. I think it was the highest single week Pro Football Focus grade for him for his career. It was like 93.4 or something. So that backs it up. I mean, he was brilliant. He was brilliant in that game. And the drops just killed it. You're right. The only time they really got anything going was, at least early on, was when Willis was in the game. And again, shout out to Malik Willis. He was so he shows how valuable he is to this team. You know, Love gets hurt, leaves the game. If he had a lesser backup quarterback, you might be going, oh, shit, like, we're in a lot of trouble here. Like, I don't know about this, you know. And that's the case for a lot of teams. A lot of teams, their backup stinks. But the Packers, again, you see how valuable Malik Willis is to this football team. Comes in, doesn't miss a beat. LaFleur changes up the play calling a little bit. Willis leads him down the field. Bullet touchdown pass to Christian Watson, who, again, I have no idea how he hung on to that pass all the way through the ground. That was an incredible catch. That's like the best 1-yard touchdown catch you'll ever see in your life. 1-yard catch? Yeah, the best 1-yard touchdown catch you'll ever see in your life from Christian Watson. It was just the drop balls that were the culprit in that first half. But you're right. I mean, they got it. It felt like the offense got it going in the second half. I think the biggest thing in the second half, Rob, was that they leaned on Love. You know, it felt like LaFleur, you know, especially with Jacobs out of the game, finally kind of put the game back in Love's hands and said, all right, Jordan, go win us the game. And Love did. You know? Every time LaFleur has put, almost every time he's put the ball in Love's hands this season and said, Jordan, go drive the offense, Love has done it. Why he's been so hesitant for long stretches this season to do that, I don't know. But it felt like they finally put the game back in Love's hands in that second half, and Love delivered him a win. Like, he is that dude. He can do that for you. You know, hopefully LaFleur learned something from that. Even if Jacobs is back this week, which it sounds like he could be, stick with what worked, Matt. If the second half against Pittsburgh and the second part of the game against the Giants, you hope at some point he learns his lesson. It's like, all right, I'm gonna have Jordan Love drive the offense. Pass first, put the ball in Jordan's hands, and let him win us the game. Because that's what I think you got to do, you know? So good stuff, Rob. All right, nice to hear from you. All right, we'll go to Blue Sky now. I have 2. All right, hang on here. I had this all queued up. And as soon as you leave the app for like 2 seconds, they go, oh, nope, you're going all the way back to the beginning. All right. Our first Blue Sky comes from Mad Polly Psy at Mad Polly Psy on Blue Sky, who hit me up to say, we know why it wasn't obvious to start Haversick. They always say we don't see what happens in practice, and that might have been the case. Yeah, tough day for Lucas Haversick. 1 of 3 on PATs, didn't attempt any field goals, but yeah, it was one of three on PAT Sunday. Although, again, you know, I talked about it Sunday night. To be fair, one of those was, he was done in by the operation. It was a terrible snap from Orzech. Then Whelan is able to corral it, but, you know, laces out, Dan. By the way, I hope you all had a chance to listen to LaFleur's presser yesterday, because he did drop an Ace Ventura reference, which I know I made on the show Sunday night, and he he dropped one yesterday about, you know, laces out. What did he say? Something to the effect of, like, I don't know if you've all seen the movie. I don't know if you're all familiar with the movie Ace Ventura, but bad things happen when the laces are in. And I was like, see, LaFleur knows. He knows. Laces out, Dan. In fact, I wore my Ace Ventura socks today in honor of that. I do have Ace Ventura socks, yes. So he was done in on one of those. The operation kind of sunk him. But yeah, he missed the other one. Now, again, some of that is it was an incredibly windy day in the Northeast Sunday. If you had a chance to watch the Lions-Eagles game on Sunday Night Football, the Lions kicker missed a PAT in that one too. In fact, I think Tirico said, oh, I hope I get this right, it was either 6 or 7 missed PATs Sunday, and that was the most on a single day since 2022 or 2023, he said. I think it was 2022, Tirico said, on Sunday night. So certainly the wind played a part in both of those misses. But yeah, I mean, you know, not good from Haversick either. Isn't that funny? I said on social media when they, I said it on Saturday when it came out that McManus was now doubtful for the game and it looked like Haversick was going to kick. I said, we've all been wanting him to get another opportunity. He's going to get one now. I said, I sure hope he doesn't suck. And of course, he goes out and misses 2 PATs. But again, some of that was him, but I do think some of that was the wind and you know, piss poor operation from snap to hold. But yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they handle that going forward, Mad Poli Sci. I know that's not the only question we have on the kicking game, the kicker position for the Packers. So more on that in a little bit, but good stuff. Great to hear from you. All right, our next one comes from Scotty Rob. Now, Scotty Rob, normally I read your comment, your first comment on Sunday night. Now, normally I have kind of a one comment / email, one tweet, one blue sky per person rule. But I'm in a good mood tonight. The Packers did win, so I will read the second one from you. Now, had they lost, I wouldn't have. But they won, so I'll read your additional one you sent today as well. Scotty Rob at Scotty Rob on Blue Sky asked me, would you rather see Whelan dropkick extra points, field goals going forward? I think he could hit from 70 after seeing his punts against the Giants. Let's get off the kicker merry-go-round. Slainte? Now, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. I looked it up. That's Irish for cheers. So a little nod to Daniel Whelan, who is, of course, Irish. So good stuff. I'm saying that word wrong, but I know the meaning of it is cheers. So cheers to you as well, Scott Rob. Would I rather see Whelan dropkick extra points, field goals? Is Doug Flutie still the last guy in the NFL to dropkick an extra point? I was just watching something on TV about that. I saw something online about that just in the last week about the time they sent Flutie in to dropkick that extra point when he was with the Patriots. Would I rather see? It's a funny question. No, I wouldn't. Although you're right. Obviously he's got a hammer for a leg. And that punt at the end of the game was so clutch from him. You know, windy day. Again, kicking was an adventure. All kinds of kicking was an adventure for both teams. It was like, man, 21 seconds left. I was like, Daniel, you need to absolutely hammer the piss out of this ball. And he did that. From snap to when the play ended, it took 10 seconds, or it was 11 seconds off the clock. I forgot to look at what his hang time was on that, but that was ridiculous. That was as clutch of a punt as you will see. Because if he, like, shanks that, who knows? But he hammered it and basically left the Giants, you know, one play, because they had no timeouts left. And then we saw what Micah Parsons did to close the game out. But that was as clutch of a punt as you'll see from Daniel Whelan in that spot. I'm glad he got a game ball afterwards, too, because he deserved it. But no, that's a great question. Funny question. No, I wouldn't rather see him dropkick. No. I still feel better about McManus and or Haversick handling. I know McManus has struggled this year. I still have faith in him once he's healthy. I do. Especially since if you look at his contract, like, yeah, you got to think it was a $5 million signing bonus. But if McManus comes back and sucks the rest of the way, he won't be back next year. So it's like, Brandon, do you want to be back for 2026 or not? Because they will get a new kicker if he continues to struggle the rest of the season. I believe that. So I still have faith in McManus to get his shit together once he's healthy. I still think he could be the guy, and Haversick is a nice backup option. I have faith in him as a backup option, too. I'd still rather see either one of those guys. That would be funny, though, to see Whelan do it, because I bet he could do it. You're right. He could probably make one. All right, so good stuff, Scunny Rob. All right, our next one, we're gonna go to the Blue Sky DMs. There's one. It's from Adrian, speaking of the Lamps Talking Pack logo, which, again, if people want the t-shirts, what do you say? Does that sound like something you'd be interested in? The t-shirt would have the Lamps Talking Pack logo that Adrian designed at Adrian Suarez, the logo that is so incredible. Again, thank you so much for that, Adrian. 1,000 thank yous. You crushed it. He DM'd me to say, "Yo, Lamps, if you're reading this, you also survived our favorite NFL team, making it very hard to watch them in every phase imaginable. Congrats. The brief Willis appearance might have saved the day, as the changeup gave the run game a jolt. Love is developing that assassin exoskeleton I once criticized him of lacking. He was showing some real teeth today. Watson has really impressed me. His dominance through the catch has become a fairly reliable asset. Go, Pack, go." Well, good stuff, Adrian. Yeah, I did survive. That's the thing. I talked about it Sunday night. So many unforced errors from this team. It was 6 or 7 drops from the offense. I said Sunday night, I thought it was 4 drop picks. LaFleur confirmed that yesterday. They had him as 4 drop picks as well. So that right there between the offense and defense, that's 10 dropped passes. 10 or 11 dropped passes. Imagine what the score would have been had they just hung on. You know? And I know the old Lee Corso joke, right? That's why they're DBs and not receivers. I get it, right? I know. But, like, you'd like to see them catch at least a couple of those. I know LaFleur expressed disappointment yesterday that they didn't catch at least a couple more of those picks. Again, 2 of those drives were Green Bay had dropped picks and ended in Giants touchdowns. So if they just hang on to those picks, that right there probably makes the game a blowout. Not even to mention how many more points they would have had offensively had they just caught the ball. And imagine what Love's stat line would have been then, you know? I do have a stat on that I want to get to in a little bit before the end of the show, too. So that was big. Those were the unforced errors. The run defense was so bad. They got bullied. They just got bullied in the trenches. Bullied in the trenches. The non-Parsons pass rushers were terrible. One thing I really want to see them get back to is blitzing Quay and Cooper. I don't know why that has fallen out of the repertoire for Jeff Hafley the last few weeks, but he needs to bring it back. The guys other than Parsons are not getting it done getting after the quarterback as far as the D linemen go. You know, you'd think hopefully Lucas Van Ness will be back this week and maybe that improves it a little bit, but those guys just aren't getting it done. Rashawn Gary in particular has been very disappointing lately. So, but Cooper and Quay are absolute weapons blitzing. Like, I'd like to see Hafley get back to that and blitz those guys more. I think that would really help the pass rush. The brief Willis appearance. Yeah, again, they won by 7. And Willis led him to 6 points. Missed PAT, but 6 points. So, yeah. I think in some ways, Willis did save the day Sunday. Absolutely. Again, it's so huge having a backup you can trust. That you can go like, all right, Love's going to be out for a little bit, but we know Malik can guide the troops. And he did Sunday. It was awesome. Awesome stuff from him. Yeah, I think that gave the run game a jolt. I also think, you know, having Sean Ryan at center for a full week, I think that helped the run game. I think Aaron Banks was much better. Much better. Shout out to Aaron Banks, who everybody, you know, he was in the doghouse all last week for Packer Nation. Aaron Banks was pretty damn good Sunday. I think that, combined with the full game of Ryan, I think that really helped the run game as well. And yeah, you're right about Love. I mean, that was a must win. I know people might say, oh, it's mid-November, you know, against a bad Giants team. Like, is that a must win? They couldn't lose that game. No, imagine if they had lost. That would have been their 3rd loss in a row. With the 3rd loss being 8-8. I said 2-7. They were a 2-8 team coming in. 2-9 now. Can you imagine if they had lost? Like, they had to win that. That was a absolutely, positively gots to have. And they got it. In large part because of Love. You know? So many of his throws. Again, I think he was only credited, I think I saw this today, he was only credited with one off-target throw all day. Like, again, so many of those balls were perfectly placed. They were absolutely, positively right where they needed to be. Just, I mean, he was on fire Sunday. He really was. Again, the stat line is not going to do that justice. But more on that in a little bit. But yeah, he was just, yeah, he was outstanding. He really was. That was a gritty, gutsy performance from him. Again, you know, and Love never really will admit how much pain he's in. And even he said after the game, like, his left shoulder was hurting. He was in, so for Love to say that, I mean, he must have been in a lot of pain Sunday. And he just battled through it and just kept delivering perfect pass after perfect pass after perfect pass. You know? They fall behind in the fourth quarter. Don't worry, I got it. Love leads him down the field. Touchdown. Game over. Like, touchdown. And then the two-point conversion, too, to Wilson. Game over. Like, can't say enough about how great Jordan Love was Sunday. No. I'm still, the is Jordan Love elite conversation, that's still going to be tabled for another week. I can't say that yet. But he was great when they needed him to be Sunday. That was just big, big, big time stuff from him. And Watson, you're right. I mean, he, both touchdowns, you know, I talked about the one-yarder. For him to hang on to that all the way through to the ground was incredible. And then, obviously, the eventual game-winning score. Falling backwards, essentially in double coverage, and he just snatches it out of the air. Really, really showing really strong hands since he's been back, which has been awesome to see. The passing game has to run through nine with no Tucker Kraft the rest of the way. It has to run through nine. What that means, at least 8 to 9 targets a week. Oh, I should hit the cough button there for that, clearing my throat. But again, I keep it real here. That means 8 to 9 targets a week. That means they should never go, you know, there should never be like a lot of plays in a row where Watson isn't getting involved in the passing game. Right? A lot of targets each week, feeding him consistently throughout the game, getting him downfield, getting him in positions where he can take advantage of his height, weight, speed stuff. Like, and he can be that guy. He can be a guy that you build your passing game around. I really believe that. He was becoming a true number one receiver last season before he got hurt. And he's picked up right where he left off, in my mind. So, just keep feeding. Just keep feeding nine. That should be the number one goal of the passing game each week. So, good stuff, Adrian. Great to hear from you. All right. I got one Facebook? Yeah, I got one Facebook. Oh, I got... Don't worry. We got some Facebook stuff this week. I got one Facebook comment, question sent in by my buddy Daniel Gruney out there in Vancouver, British Columbia. Vancouver, British Columbia. There we go. He DM'd me to ask, does anyone have Mason Crosby's number? Are you sensing the trend here with the kicking game? Asking for a friend. And what about those Butterfingers, man? Good we have Watson who can hold on to the ball. Glad we came out on top, but I'm having a hard time getting excited for game days. Oh, and can we stop getting injured? Like WTF, go Pack, go, Daniel. Yeah, losing Jacobs was certainly a kick in the ass injury-wise on Sunday. But, again, credit to LaFleur. He called a really great game all day, but I thought especially after Jacobs left, he called a really, really great game. And leaned on Love, was not afraid to lean on Love, was not so conservative, and the offense didn't miss a beat. But they are going to need Jacobs to get to where they ultimately want to go. And it sounds like even if Jacobs doesn't play Sunday, he won't be out much longer than that, so that's good. Mason Crosby's number, again. Yeah, well, Crosby, even at the end, Crosby couldn't kick long ones anymore. He was still pretty accurate on short field goals, but the long stuff, his leg was gone by the end. And then didn't he end up kicking for the Giants for like a game or two and was not very good, if I'm not mistaken? So it's still, again, I think once he's healthy, I still think McManus can, I still believe he can get his shit together and be the guy. And if not, I still have faith in Haversick. I think Sunday, again, was due to a lot of factors, wind, bad operation from snap to hold. It wasn't all his fault Sunday. So I think they still have two good options at kicker. What about those Butterfingers? Yeah, I mean, again, the Butterfingers, this was really bad. I saved this. This is what I wanted to talk about. I saw this on Blue Sky. Now, where is this? Now, where do you find stuff that you saved on Blue Sky. Oh my god, I sound like my dad now. Where do I save that stuff? My mom or dad. This is from Dusty Evely on Blue Sky at Dusty Evely. This was a really, I was hoping someone would find this, and he did. Okay, talking about the drops. Dusty posted this yesterday. Just through some quick charting, I've got the Packers receivers with 6 drop passes accounting for 92 lost yards, not accounting for yak. Here's a chart. He didn't account for throwaways here. So the official line, right, for Love was 13 of 24, 174 yards, 2 touchdowns. 54.2 completion percentage, 7.3 yards per attempt. Had the Packers just caught those 6 passes, Love finishes 19 of 24, 266 yards, 79.2 completion percentage, and 11.1 yards per attempt. Oh my God, 11.1 yards per attempt. So, and that's just counting if they caught those passes, right? And obviously, if they had caught those passes, those drives would have been extended. Love would have finished with even more than 200. Love's probably way up over 300 yards. Way more than 2 touchdowns. At least 3. Again, maybe 4. Who knows? Maybe even 5 touchdowns. Those drops really hurt. But again, even if they just catch those 6 passes, Love's day is even better. It's an incredible statistic day. Incredible statistical day. But again, you don't need to be a box score watcher. If you watch the game, you know Love was very good anyways. But yeah, that speaks to just how bad the drops were. Yeah, Watson, again, Watson. You know, Watson gets dogged. I think early on in his career, Watson got dogged a lot for drops. He certainly has had some bad ones. Obviously, the first play of his career, the drop on the home run ball from Rodgers against the Vikings. I think some of that is overstated. I don't think Watson is nearly the problem dropping the ball that guys like Dobbs and even like Reed have been. Watson actually has been pretty reliable comparatively to those two guys. But yeah, especially since he's come back this year, he showed really, really strong hands. Again, just picking up where he left off last year. His hands were getting stronger and stronger as last season went on. And he's continued that this year coming back from the injury. Having a hard time getting excited. Well, I don't know about that. I never have a hard time getting excited for game days. No matter what. You know, even like in the 05 year when they were 4-12, I still geeked for every game day. Absolutely. So I can't say I'm on the same wavelength with you on that one, Daniel. I'm just always excited. Maybe just because I'm a psycho super fan. But I'm always excited for game days, no matter what. Even if like things aren't going well, like, you know, they haven't been going well the last couple weeks before the Giants game. I woke up Sunday morning like, let's go. It's game day, baby. You only get so many Packers game days in your life, right? So I always get excited for everyone. But I understand what you're saying. I can understand why some people maybe were like, oh man, like things aren't going well. Like, oh shit. but I'm always excited for game days. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So thank you, Daniel. Good stuff. All right. Our next one. And I'm not saying I'm like better than anybody else. I'm just saying that's how I am. I'm just nuts. All right. And speaking of Facebook, it's time for everyone's favorite segment, Facebook Fuckery. That's right. It's back, everyone. Wasn't able to give you one last week, said maybe I'd find 2 to make it up to you all this week, and I have done just that, my friends. The truth and social media don't always mix well, and nowhere is this more obvious than on Facebook.com. And the Packers, sadly, are not immune from that, as Facebook is littered with completely ridiculous, totally made-up, quote-unquote news regarding our team. With that in mind, every week going forward this season, provided I can find a good one, I'll share one piece of completely fake Packers Facebook news. But again, it's going to be 2 this week. Oh yeah, get ready, baby. Here we go. All right, so the first one. Now, these are both from, where was the site? No, it's not that one. Green and Gold Legacy. 21,000 followers, 9 following. Again, 21. How do they have 21,000 followers? Out of all the followers I have on all the fucking social media channels, I don't have anywhere near 21,000. Are these bots? Are they paying for them? What's the deal here? Green and Gold Legacy, their caption is, where the legend of Lambeau Field lives on, along with the indomitable spirit and pride of the Green and Yellow Warriors. First of all, it's Green and Gold Warriors. Fake Facebook page. But they had 2 that were so good, I was like, I'm reading them both. All right, our first one. This is from today. Absolute chaos. The NFL has stunned America by voiding the Packers-Giants game after uncovering massive officiating violations. Erases Green Bay's 27-20 win and orders a full replay that has the entire football world melting down. So I don't even know why I've spent the last 40 minutes talking about this game, because according to Green and Gold Legacy, it didn't happen. They're going to replay it. When are they going to replay it? I hope they can replay it before the Vikings game. Are they going to make them play it on Saturday? Are the Packers going to do a doubleheader on Sunday? They're going to play the Vikings and then get on a plane and fly to New York and replay the Giants on Sunday night? How's that going to work? I did read the article. I clicked on it. This is how much I love all of you. I'm pretty sure I just downloaded all kinds of malware and spyware and viruses onto my phone by clicking the link, but it was such a tantalizing teaser, I just had to see the rest of it. In a move no one saw coming, the league has voided the Packers' 27-20 victory over the New York Giants, citing what officials describe as severe officiating inconsistencies and procedural misapplications that materially impacted competitive integrity. How did the AI program find that many big words? The announcement came late Monday night, instantly detonating across social media and plunging fans, analysts, and players into absolute chaos. That's chaos! Green Bay's win, wiped from the books. The standings, temporarily frozen. And in an unprecedented twist, the NFL has ordered a full replay of the game, igniting outrage, disbelief, celebration, and conspiracy theories all at once. The football world is melting down, and this story is only beginning. Yeah. Yeah. So, if you feel bad about how Green Bay played in the win, well, don't worry. They're going to get another shot at the Giants, apparently. Yeah. How about that? I bet you didn't even know that, did you? And you're out there, everybody's all wrapped up in their own little universes. You didn't even know that they're going to replay this game. So that one was great. And you're like, Lamps, there's no way you're going to top that. Oh, staying on the Green and Gold Legacy page, this is from Monday. This one I think is even better. NFL in firestorm. Brett Favre erupts with a brutal takedown after Giants interim head coach Mike Kafka accuses the Packers of bribing the refs. The Green Bay legend calls the claim a pathetic excuse from a coach who can't own his failures. And his scorched earth defense of Titletown has just shaken the entire league. Kafka could only respond weakly. And then I clicked on that article, downloading even more malware and viruses onto my phone, I'm sure. But again, with a teaser like that, how could I not want to see the full shebang? I got to read the whole shebang-a-bang after that. And the article says, Kafka's response, weak, hesitant, and it only made the backlash worse. After thousands of headlines and an avalanche of pushback, Kafka attempted a soft correction the next day. Quote, I didn't mean bribing literally, end quote, he said. Quote, I was speaking emotionally. I just felt some calls didn't go our way, end quote. The NFL world responded with a collective, that's it? Favre supporters saw it as confirmation that Kafka had overreached. Packers fans shredded the response as weak and backpedaling. Even Giants fans were split, half frustrated with Kafka's original claim, the other half disappointed in his sudden retreat. Green and Gold Legacy, this is bullshit of the finest quality. This is like grade A, pure, uncut bullshit, top-notch, elite bullshit. They had two of these in the span of 2 days. I mean, they're just crushing it on these fake stories. Can you imagine an NFL coach after a game getting up there and being like, the Packers bribed the refs? Maybe that's the officiating inconsistencies they talked about in the first Green and Gold Legacy story I read. But he accuses them of bribing the refs. And I love that, like, Favre is the one who's coming to the rescue. And he's like, you're a pathetic excuse for a coach who can't own your own failure. Like, it's just great. It's just such... Stories like these two I've read tonight, that's why I started the Facebook fuckery segment. Because this is Facebook fuckery, again, of the finest order. Of the finest kind. Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff. Thank you, Green and Gold Legacy, again. Okay, so that was this week's segment. If you find a good fake story on Facebook, feel free to send it along, either on one of the socials or the email. If you can't send the link, Screenshots are okay too. Keep it humorous, please. Nothing too heavy politically or socially. The goal is to have this be fun. And remember, be careful when reading Facebook stuff about the pack. If it sounds ridiculous and fake, it probably is. And hopefully at least they'll tell us when this rescheduled game with the Giants will be. Are they gonna say? I'm very excited to find out when that is. Yeah. All right, so let's move on to the emails. Our first email comes from, speaking of Adam Summers, who I referenced in the beginning of the show, one of my former Old Bag of Donuts podcast co-hosts, one of my bestest friends in the world. Adam emailed me and said, during the game, yes, I'm writing this in the first half, but still, emotions are best when they're raw. Do we really need to roster a kicker? Like, Whelan handles the kickoffs, and maybe we can see if he can try a 60-yarder. Not like McManus is any better. Then we just go for two and no more field goals? I'm 100% serious and not being sarcastic. I feel like this is something that Dan Campbell would try, and I'm all for it. Mike Zimmer's harsh disdain for kickers feels justified more and more every week. It's fantastic. This is fantastic, buddy. Yeah. What do they say? What do they say about quarterbacks? If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have one. Is that true with kickers too? No. I still. This is so good. Whelan again. I don't have any doubt that Daniel Whelan could drop kick an extra point or a field goal. I'm pretty sure he could handle the kickoffs too. I don't doubt that. Could he try a 60-yarder? Again, I still think between McManus and Haversick, I think there's a kicker in there. But you're right, McManus has, you know, he's not any better. I agree on long stuff. Again, what is McManus, 3 of 9 on kicks outside of the red zone? Again, if he comes back and gets his gig back and he doesn't get his shit together, he's not going to be back next year. So, Brandon, do you want to be in Green Bay in 2026 or not? It's up to you. Whoop, first burp of the show, 46 minutes in, got to keep it real. It's Taco Tuesday. Taco Tuesday and Sam Adams Oktoberfest. It's just a rough combination as far as the burps go. But yeah, I still think McManus can get it done when he comes back. I think a lot of the McManus struggles were because he was hurt. Not that he was, like, great, great before that, but I think he got hurt and things got way worse. So if he comes back, he'll get the gig, and if he can't do it, then they'll give it to Haversick, and I still think Haversick, in regular conditions, you know, what you see on the conditions you'll have on most NFL game days, as far as weather goes, he'll be fine. Yeah. Yeah. I don't have any doubt in that. So they've got a kicker in there. Between one of those two guys, I think they're going to find someone. They're going to find a guy. You're right. It does feel like something Dan Campbell would try. How many times did Detroit go for it on Sunday night? 5 times. They were 0-for-5, I think, on fourth downs Sunday night. See, that whole, like, bold, you know, we're going to be bold shit. That's great when it works, but when you go 0-for-5, I mean, the Lions probably would have won that game. If Dan Campbell had just been a little smarter on fourth downs. See, that stuff is great when it works, but when it doesn't. But you're right, it probably is something Dan Campbell would try if he was in Green Bay's spot. Mike Zimmer, he hated kickers, didn't he? He hated kickers. Hated them. Isn't he the one who cut Durs' older brother, Daniel Carlson? Yeah, he cut him after that bad game against, was it like the second or third week of Carlson's career? Daniel Carlson, he cut him, and he ended up with Vegas, and he's been a Pro Bowl kicker pretty consistently. So, yeah, no one hated kickers like Mike Zimmer. You're right about that, Adam. So, yeah, good stuff, buddy. Definitely a good laugh. We'll go to Tim now, who emailed me to say, Lamps, we pulled a rabbit out of a hat. A win is a win, though. Game balls to Watson and Whelan. Love, too, for gutting it out. Micah earned his paycheck for putting the game away. His motor never stops. Many injuries to overcome with a tough stretch coming. But this is a start. Tim. All right, good stuff, Tim. Yeah, I mean, you're right. Again, it was not the best win. No. And yes, the Packers would have lost to a whole bunch of other teams playing the way they did Sunday. But like I just keep saying, they needed a win somehow, some way, and they got one. They bought themselves more time to figure it out. If they had lost, I don't think there's any chance they make the playoffs. I'll say that. But everything they want to accomplish is still right in front of them. Game balls to Watson. Yeah, I talked a lot about Watson and Whelan. They were both great. Yep, love to again. Gutted out was awesome. You know who else I want to say a shout out to an unsung hero, Chris Brooks. Chris Brooks, who has stuck on the team in large part due to his pass blocking abilities. That, if you go back and watch the replay of that long shot to Savion Williams, you know, the bomb to Savion Williams on the game-winning touchdown drive on the 3rd and 10, Chris Brooks steps up with a huge pass block. Just stones his guy right at the line, right in the hole, to give Love more time to make that play. I'd like to see them use, if the pass, and I didn't think the pass protection was as bad Sunday as it had been the last couple weeks. Not great, but I thought it was better. If it's going to continue to be up and down, if they still have concerns about it, I'd like to see Chris Brooks get some more run. He's so valuable as a blocker back there, as like the last line of defense for protecting Jordan Love. He's so valuable. I wanted to give him a shout out too, because I thought, you know, that was real unsung hero type stuff. But do they win that game if he doesn't make that play? If Love doesn't make that pass? Probably not. And a big reason why he was able to make that play was because of the efforts of Chris Brooks. So shout out to him. Again, two of the biggest, you know, a lot of guys on defense struggled Sunday, but Parsons was not one. Parsons was elite. In fact, I think he had an elite Pro Football Focus grade too. Parsons was awesome. Two of the biggest plays of the game, of the day, right? And you're talking about his motor. Both plays really showcased his motor. The sack on 4th down on the 4th and 3 from the Green Bay 10. Parsons just never stops. He just keeps fighting his guy. Just keeps fighting and working to get around his man. Finally, he's able to get around him. He corrals Jameis. That allows Isaiah McDuffie to come in and finish off the play. That play was 100% due to Parsons' motor. That he just never gave up, never stopped fighting, and finally got around his guy. A motor like that is just rare. And then on the final play of the game, the final play of the day, he was basically blocked by 3 guys, right? He has the guy, the tackle in front of him. They kept a guy in to chip him, so there's 2. Then he has to get around another guy, just keeps working, just keeps fighting his ass off. Then you see his insane closing speed, gets to Wilson, boom, ball's out, game over. Both those plays were made by Parsons and his motor. Do they win that game without those 2 plays? I don't think they do. So there's another one. Parsons was just huge. Just, again, that's why you make that trade. Do you know how many guys on earth could have done what he did on those 2 plays? Not many. Again, I'll just keep it for the 5,000th time. If you got a chance to get a guy like that, you just fucking do it. I don't think they win that game without Parsons on Sunday. No, they don't. I'll say that. So yeah, great stuff from him. And you're right, this is a tough stretch. Absolutely. The Vikings, more on them towards the end of the show, but you know they're going to be hungry and desperate on Sunday. Short week, you're going into Detroit on Thanksgiving. And then the Bears at Lambeau. These next 3 games, all division games, I think the Packers have to win at least 2 of the 3. Yeah. If they win 2 of these next 3 and get to 8-4-1... right? Yeah, going into the final stretch. I definitely think they're going to make the playoffs. I think they have a pretty good shot to win the division. Absolutely. I know right now, Detroit, I saw one odd site that had Detroit 51, I think it was 51% chance, right, for Detroit. What was it? I cannot pull this up now. It just takes forever. Here we go. So I saw this on Twitter, and I wanted to share this. Unbelievable. Where is this now? Here we go. It's from Kalshi Sports. The Chicago Bears currently lead the NFC North with a 7-3 record, yet have just a 14% chance to win the division on Kalshi, whatever that is. They have the Lions right now at 51% chance, at a 51% chance to win the North, Green Bay 39%, and Chicago 14%. So, what is that? 89? What is that? 80? Is that 104? How is that right, though? Isn't 51 and 39, isn't that 90? And then Chicago, isn't that 104%? How is that right? I saw it anyways, and I thought it was interesting that they're still giving the Lions the best chance to win the North. I think if the Packers win 2 of the next 3, though, I think they're going to be in pretty good standing to win the division. Absolutely. 8-4-1 at that point with 4 to play. I think there's a pretty good chance they can win the North. If they win all three, then I think they're definitely going to win the division. 100%, I will say that. But you're right. This is a tough stretch. We're going to learn a lot about this team these next 3 weeks. I think everything we need to know about this Packers team, we're going to learn these next 3 weeks. Because remember how bad they were in the division last year. They got to fix that this year. They've only played one division game so far. Isn't that crazy? All right. Our next one comes from Kyle Terpenning, who refuses to get Twitter. Again, I don't even know why I'm on Twitter. I go, hey, hit me after the game. I go, send me your thoughts. No one sent anything. I only got one DM. Why am I on Twitter then? I saw someone joke too about when I saw a thing today on Twitter. When's the last time you called it Twitter? I'm like, I always call. I'm never going to call it X. It's not X. That shithole will always be Twitter to me. So Kyle, anyways, emailed me to say, do the pass rushers only have a limited amount of times they are allowed to get pressure and sacks so they save them for the critical moments? Because, I mean, that's nice and all, but can we please then get rid of the limit on them? I still have very serious concerns with the team moving forward, and we have a laundry list of injuries now. But I'm becoming more and more sure Love is the one that can lead us to the promised land. Goes out with an injury and comes back and drags the team to the finish line. Guess he learned that from Rodgers. Not his fault Dobbs and the rest slathered their fingers in butter before the game. So that's the second Butterfingers reference to the wide receivers today. Which they earned that. Again, Dobbs, three drops. Three drops. Yeah, I think it's just not good. But I think now, all right, let's talk about the pass rushers first. You're right. Again, the non-Micah Parsons pass rushers are not getting it done. On the D-line. They're not Devontae. Wyatt's not getting it done. Again, another... Wyatt's season has mirrored his 2024 season, right? He comes out hot in 2024, comes out hot this year. Last year, gets hurt. His play struggles. Then he got it going again towards the end of the year. This year, gets hurt, comes out hot, gets hurt, and has struggled to regain that early season form. Same as last year. Same thing as last year with Devontae Wyatt. He's got to get it going. He's just too valuable to that D-tackle group. He's got to get it going. He's got to get back to getting after the passer. He has to. You know, and again, Gary, I know a lot of people have been dogging Gary online the last couple of days for maybe a perceived lack of conditioning. Gary continuously asking out of the game. I don't know how many times it was Sunday he was caught asking out of the game. Gary has to be better. Gary's making too much money and he has too good of an opportunity in front of him to be playing the way he's played the last few weeks. It's just not been good enough for Rashawn Gary. You know? He's been gifted a golden opportunity with Micah Parsons on the other side, at the other end spot, to just rack up pressures and rack up sacks. And yes, he's got, what is it, 7.5? How many sacks does he have this year? Yes, the sacks are there for Rashawn Gary. He has 7.5. But the pressures aren't there. He's not getting to the quarterback consistently. It feels like a lot of his sacks have been cleanup sacks. You know? He needs to be performing better. Wyatt and Gary have to be better. And again, maybe Lucas Van Ness will improve things. Hopefully he comes back this week, finally from the foot injury. Maybe that will improve things. But those guys have got to be better. And again, I'd like to see Quay and Edgerrin Cooper blitzed more. I think that would really kickstart things as far as the pass rush goes. Those two guys are way too good blitzing to be used as sparingly as they have in that role the last few weeks. I want to see Halfley get back to that. Becoming more and more sure Love is. I mean, again, that was elite stuff from Jordan Love. Again, I'm not going to have the Jordan Love is the elite conversation this week again, but that was an elite performance from him Sunday. I will say that again. Yeah, he's hurt. Guys are dropping balls all over the yard, and Love just stays with it. Perfect pass after perfect pass after perfect pass. Pressure right in his face. Doesn't matter. He's hurt. Again, he's just making it happen no matter what. Didn't matter. No Josh Jacobs. I'm going to make it happen. That's what the greats do. What we saw from Jordan Love on Sunday. You're right. He dragged. He and Parsons dragged this team to the finish line. They really did, the two of them. I guess he learned that from Rodgers. Yeah, you know, it's funny. There's been a lot of talk, Kyle. Really, Jordan Love's entire time about, oh, is this reminiscent of Favre? This is reminiscent of Rodgers. I saw one thing from him Sunday that really to me, confirms that he's got so much Favre DNA, so much of the Favre DNA. It didn't matter how many times Dobbs was dropping passes. He just kept going back to him, right? It didn't matter who was dropping balls. Love just kept going back to the guys. You know, he didn't hang his head. He didn't scoff at them or look at, you know, react in disgust like Rodgers would have. He just kept going back to him. It didn't matter. I'm just going to keep going back to you. You're my guy. I have faith in you. You've dropped three passes. I need you in this spot. I'm going back to you. That's Brett Favre. That right there is 110% Brett Favre. You know, and I've said before, you know, Love's, we've seen so many of the Love, fuck it, someone's down there. Deep shots. Since he's taken over as starter, and I go, that's Favre too. That is Favre. Obviously, and then what we saw Sunday with the continuing to go back to guys, even if they're struggling, that was Favre. But you're right, there were some Rodgers in there too, you know, coming back from the injury, Rodgers against the Bears. And 2018 coming back on the Sunday night opener to lead him to victory. I mean, yeah, definitely some strains of Rodgers in there Sunday too. CeeDee Angeli, who co-grand poobah here at Packers Talk, tweeted at me today to say that he thinks, he mentioned some stuff he said on She Said Radio recently that makes him think he's got a lot of Bart Starr in him too. And I think that's true. The cool, calm demeanor, the unflappable demeanor, that is very Bart Starr. So you're right. I think he's got strains of all three, but I think especially Bart Starr and Brett Favre, I think you can see a lot of those two in Jordan Love, which obviously those are two of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. So that's awesome. And Rodgers too. But yeah, I think there's a lot of Bart Starr and there's a lot of Brett Favre and Jordan Love. Absolutely. Which is, I mean, yeah, it's great. Yeah, so good stuff, Kyle. Great to hear from you. Okay. One more email? Oh, two more emails. Is that only the third one? Holy shit. All right. I go, there's only 11 questions. It won't be as long tonight. And here I am over an hour already. All right. Our next one comes from Chuck. A win is a win, but wholly undisciplined football, Batman. Can anyone besides Watson catch the ball? They do know the second word in wide receiver is receive. Barely beating a 2-8 health-destroyed team does not move Matt ML effing Fleur off the hot seat. Why can't this team play with focus? With that said, woo, a win. Yay. This team is not going to be guaranteed any win. I would not be surprised if this team finished 3-4 down the stretch or even 2-5. Of course, they could also go 6-1. If I woke up in 7 weeks with my head sewn to the carpet and the Packers finishing 0-7 down the stretch, I wouldn't be surprised. Best, Chuck. All right, good stuff, Chuck. Cheers to you. Let's see. Talked a lot about the wide receivers and Watson. Adam, one of Adam's friends, we used to watch football with him back in the day, used to always say, the second word, whenever a Packers receiver would drop a pass, he'd go, the second word in your job title is receiver. Receive! Receive, goddamn you! So, yeah, I definitely heard that before. That's true. You're right. Receive. That's an important part of the job, is the catching. The getting open is great, but you have to catch it too. You have to complete the whole process. It doesn't move the floor off the hot seat. I think it cools his seat a little bit. It gets everybody off his back. I don't think anybody's calling for him to be fired this week, and I don't think anybody's really talking about Matt LaFleur's future, at least for this week. So I think it calmed things a little bit. I will say that. It brought it down a little bit. This team is not going to be guaranteed. Yeah, I mean, I think your assessment here is correct, Chuck. They could go 0-7 down the stretch, and they could go 7-0. And none of it would surprise me with this team. Anything in between. You know, we've seen this team at their best. This team at their best, when they're playing complimentary football, they can beat anybody. They probably would beat anybody. They'd probably beat any team in the league playing that way. But we've seen this team at their worst, and you're right, they could be beat by anybody in the league. So anything between 0-7 and 7-0 down the stretch would not surprise me. Yeah. Yeah. I do not have a handle on this team in that sense at all right now. So I totally agree with you on that. I don't know why your head would be sewn to the carpet, but yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. They're not going to be guaranteed any win, but yet again, they could beat anybody. So, yeah, nothing would surprise me with this Packers team at this point. I totally agree with you, Chuck. All right, so good stuff. All right, our last email comes from Just Albert. Lemps, well, the move is in full swing. We bought our new house on Friday. Movers moved 2 storage units to the house on Saturday. Today we moved out of the hotel. Boxes are everywhere except in the little toilet rooms. I saw the score. It's a dub. Not a dub, but I'll take the win. I'm looking forward to your summary of the game and the other contributors' opinions. Have a great week. Thanks for the shows. Go Pack, go. Well, thank you for listening, Chuck. Thank you for listening, Just Albert. As I always say, if you guys keep listening, I'll keep recording them. Well, I'm glad that the move is in full swing. I know moving is just a tremendous pain in the ass. So hopefully that goes smoothly and you guys get everything set up. And you'll be ready to rock in the new house soon. Were you living in a hotel for a while? I've always kind of wanted to live in a hotel for just like a month. And just see if it's as awesome as I think it would be. Probably wouldn't be. But in my mind, it would be awesome to live in a hotel for like a month. But yeah, hopefully the move goes well and you guys get everything set up and you're ready to rock soon. This is very true. Yeah, that's a great way to say it. It's a dub. Not a dub, but a dub. That's very well said, Just Albert. That's why I said on Sunday night, I go, whew, it's one of those kind of dubs. Not a dub, but yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you're looking forward to my... I hope you've enjoyed my summary of the game, both on the Sunday night show and tonight. And yeah, the other contributors' opinions, again... I always look at all of us as like co-conspirators. I couldn't do the show without all of you writing in and giving me your thoughts. If it was just me telling you what I think about the game, I don't think it would be as fun. It's the fact that everybody sends in their thoughts too, and I can share those things. You know, again, we're kind of doing this show together. That's what makes it so fun for me. So yeah, great stuff, Albert. And I hope you have a great week as well. All right, that's the last email. All right, everybody. Down the stretch we come. We've got one more. It is from Josh. We're going to the IG bag. We have one there, and it's from Josh. And as always, a reminder, the views expressed by Josh are not necessarily those of anyone involved with the making of the show. I've only briefly glanced at what he sent me. I don't really know for sure. So strap in, everyone. Good afternoon, Lemps. We scraped by the 2-8 Giants. Good, great, grand, wonderful. Savion Williams catching Jordan's 32-yard YOLO ball on the final drive won the game. Now that he's demonstrated he can actually play wide receiver, how long before LaFleur sends him back to the bubble screen gulag? Dobbs drops more balls than Ron Jeremy and my 1983 VHS copy of, oh my God, Burrow into me, Mr. Hedgehog. The fact that all of Romo's targets aren't going to Watson and Golden... tells you all you need to know about the head coach, no? We still look like a can of smashed assholes in all three phases right now. 8-8-1. It's all Greek to me, Josh. Slow clap. I know Ron Jeremy's never been mentioned on the show before. That's all I'm going to say about that. That's definitely a first that Ron Jeremy's ever been mentioned on the show before. 1983 VHS copy. Is it still in good shape? If you've got a VHS tape from 1983 that's in good shape still, I guess tip of the cap to you. I don't know. All right, anyways, let's get back to Josh's thoughts here. Your good, great, grand, wonderful. It's not lost on me. Billy Madison, sir. Love that movie. The late, great Chris Farley. That whole scene is awesome. When he's like, a friend of mine and her got it on. Woo! And Adam Sandler's like, no, they didn't. That whole scene with him and Farley is just... this is classic. Savion Williams catching Jordan's 30-yard YOLO ball in the final drive. Yeah, again, I don't think they win the game without that play, Josh. And again, shout out to Chris Brooks, because I don't think that play happens without Chris Brooks stepping up and stoning the rusher right there in Love's face. So Love had time to get that throw off. I do think that won the game. And again, hopefully Williams has shown now to LaFleur and the coaches, like, he can be trusted. Get him downfield. He is a big, physical, athletic target. Get Savion. He can win contested balls. Get him downfield and let him make plays. Because I sure hope LaFleur doesn't send him back to the bubble screen gulag. I sure hope not. He and Golden. Again, I want to see Golden and Williams downfield. and Watson. I want to see this go back to being a downfield passing game. You drafted Golden and Williams to be those guys. Let them be those guys. No more bubble screens. No more end-arounds and jet sweeps. I want to see Golden and Savion Williams downfield. And I want to see Golden targeted more. They're still not targeting Matthew Golden enough. This guy was like the story of training camp and the training camp practices. And then, you know, the game's coming. He's being targeted 2-3 times a week. That's not enough. I want to see more targets for Matthew Golden as we head down the stretch here. Starting this week. Because he can be that guy for you. That's what you drafted him to be. Let him be that guy. Golden and Watson. And it sounds like they might get Jaden Reed back soon. He posted kind of a teaser on Twitter today that made it seem like maybe he's close. So that'll only help things even more. Like, but I want to see Golden and Watson downfield and Williams downfield until Reed's back. Even when he's back. Dobbs again. I keep seeing people say, oh, they're gonna re-sign Dobbs. I don't think Dobbs is gonna be back. No. He's just Love, you know, again, kudos to Jordan Love for never giving up on him. He kept going back to him, and at times it did pay off for the Packers on Sunday. But I don't see Dobbs. Dobbs is just too inconsistent for me to be a guy you can give any kind of big contract extension to. So I do think this will be Dobbs' last year in Green Bay. Yeah. He'll sign somewhere else in free agency in March. The fact that all of... You said Romo. I think you mean Romeo's targets. Whoops, second burp of the show. You meant the fact that all of Romeo's targets aren't going to Watson and Golden tells you all you need to know. Well, yeah, I certainly want to see LaFleur again. I want to see LaFleur scheme some more stuff up specifically for Golden and Watson. I agree. He's got to do a better job of that. I like the game LaFleur called Sunday. At times I loved the game he called. But I want to see him make those guys a factor. Make them a factor. Call plays specifically for them. Scheme stuff specifically for them. I need to see that down the stretch for Christian Watson and Matthew Golden. I totally agree with you on that, Josh. Do we look like a can of smashed assholes? Well, yeah. Again, it was certain. I thought the offense looked better Sunday, but it's still, that complimentary football is still not there. Why is it we can only get one good phase of football from Green Bay per week? Have you noticed that? It's like either the offense plays well and the defense sucks, or the defense is great and the offense can't get it going, or they both get it going and the special teams is crap. Like, let's just get all three phases going, please. At this point, I'd settle for just, again, two. Can we just have the offense and defense playing well and just hope the special teams fights to a draw? I'd even take that at this point. They're not going to be 8-8, 8-8-1. I don't think so, although that made me laugh. I think they're going to be better than 8-8-1. I still think this team is probably a 10-6-1 team. Maybe 11-5-1, but I'd say probably 10-6-1 feels like where the Packers are going to end up. At least that's what I think. All right, so good. What? Some good stuff. Some stuff I'm like, I don't know, Josh. But thank you. Okay, so that's everyone, I think. I'm almost positive it is, but if I somehow missed you, I sincerely apologize. Thanks to everyone who sends something along. It's always appreciated. It's way more fun to do this after a win, right? So hopefully those bastards keep winning. Keep winning, you bastards. So for now, let's close the bag up tight until Sunday night. That's when you'll hear from me next, following Green Bay's contest with the Minnesota Vikings, the hated Minnesota Vikings, on Sunday at Lambeau Field. That one is set for a noon Lambeau time kickoff. The Vikings, 4-6 this season, last place in the NFC North, although that never really matters when it comes to divisional games, right? Rivalry games, records, I know it's cliche, but they really don't matter. Minnesota has lost 4 of its last 5 games, lost on a last-second field goal at home to the Chicago Bears on Sunday. I said this on social media a while ago. I'll say it again. Is it just me? It feels like the Bears have stolen the 2024 Vikings mojo, right? Like, the Bears are that team this year that's winning every week, and yet everyone thinks it's just all smoke and mirrors. I can't be alone in thinking that, right? Been a tough first season for J.J. McCarthy under center for Minnesota. 6 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. He's really struggled. But the Vikings, I mean, they got weapons, man. You know that. I know that. Justin Jefferson, I mean, what else even needs to be said about him, right? Probably the best receiver on the planet. T.J. Hockenson, Jordan Addison, our old pal Aaron Jones. Yeah. They've got skill position players for sure, and they can get after the QB. I believe they're 10th in sacks as a team. Brian Flores is a hell of a defensive coordinator. And you know, if they lose 4-7, that's pretty much a wrap on their playoff chances. So you know they're going to be desperate as hell to get a win. The Packers need to match that intensity because, again, I think this is a must-win for Green Bay as well. And they need to match that intensity because, as always, fuck the Minnesota Vikings. That alone should be enough to get them to be intense, to play intense in this one, to bring that focus and intensity. And of course, I'll be back to recap that one win, lose, or draw on Sunday night. It'll be Monday morning, the 24th, when you hear it. So keep your eyes and your ears open for that one, and yes, I'll keep you posted. And okay, quick programming note for next week. Since the Packers play on Thanksgiving, obviously, there will be no mailbag show next Tuesday night. I'm taking the fam up to Marquette, Michigan for the holiday once again, my hometown. Heading up there on Wednesday, so I'll just be way too busy packing and everything to do a show on Tuesday. So in that case, I'm just going to do one big show on Sunday night. So if you want to have your question or comment read on the show, you'll have to get it in by Sunday evening. And yes, if you're wondering, that means the Hotel Bathroom Podcast will return on Thanksgiving night. Oh yeah, that's happening. Fuck, it's tradition at this point, right? I don't really have a choice. Do I? I have to do it. So yeah, the Hotel Bathroom Podcast from Marquette, Michigan is back, baby. As for tonight, another fun mailbag show is officially in the books. I thought this went well. Again, I'm really enjoying doing it. I just keep saying it. These are really fun to do. I've had so much fun doing these all season. It's a little looser, a little more fun, kind of more freewheeling. I'm having a blast. I hope everyone who listens to the main show is checking this out too. Let me know if you are and what you think. That would be great. So until next time, whenever that may be, I am Chris Lempesis. This right here has been Lemp's Talking Pack. Thank you so very much for listening, Packer Nation. I love you, I love you, I love you. Please stay safe out there in this crazy world, and remember, always and forever, go Pack, go.